from the Reeves Building Studios in downtown Sioux Falls. 50, I think it's now 51, 52 years serving the region. Make it last and make it Reeves. I'm Bill Zortman. Welcome to our It's Your Agribusiness Show in the week that brought us show number 4444. 4,444, and this is now show 4448 in this original It's Your Business series. It's really the biggest event in South Dakota this week, FFA Convention in Brookings, and thanks to Jerry Idy, we've been telling stories of those that are part of FFA, their leadership, and what all is happening in Brookings. Jerry, as we talk this morning, where are we and what are we doing?
Good morning. We have lots of FFA members from across the state heading to Brookings today. Hopefully they're getting in at least a half a day of school before their chapters take off and head to Brookings. And they'll start competing tomorrow in a variety of different events. We have over 2,100 members and hundreds of family members, community members, and sponsors that will be there joining us. And this morning we have Haley Kaiser, who is a member from the Howard FFA chapter, and she's a Starn Ag placement finalist, and she's also a state officer candidate, and she's here to share with us a little bit about what she's looking forward to at the convention and what it means to her to be a senior.
Haley, good morning. Talk to us a little bit about what you expect and why you wanted to be a star.
I'm expecting a lot for this year's state convention. I'm really looking forward to it and gaining new knowledge and skills that will help me to become a better leader in my community. And I'm also eager to meet and network with other FFA members from across the state to exchange ideas and our FFA experiences. And I really wanted to become a star in FFA because I've seen the hard work and dedication from those that achieved this award years prior to me, and seeing how they achieved success through their SAEs and what FFA has provided them really encouraged me to work and put in the effort to becoming a star in FFA.
I will tell you, Haley, that one of the things that I like about Howard is that they're one of my favorite towns, one of my favorite little country towns in South Dakota. And to have you joining us this morning, I don't know how Jerry Idy is able to do this, but she brings in people from places that I haven't talked to in a long time. What would you tell us about your town that's so special? Be a star from Howard, if you will.
What it means to be from Howard is that we really have a wide variety of community members and different opportunities in our community. We have many agricultural practices going on, whether it's crops, different livestock, ranches and farms, to even wildlife operations such as Top Gun Hunting Enterprise, which is where I work for my SAE. So being from Howard really allows you to have an opportunity to really get a wide diversity and look at agriculture through like the eyes of many different windows.
Jerry Idy has been a friend for a long time, and she introduces us to young people like you from places like Howard. That to me, you know, we know Sioux Falls, we know Rapid City are big deals in the state, but they count on Howard's all the time for young people like you and others to make a difference in the future. And my guess is by going to the convention, and you're going to have 2,100 or so that might be there, this is a big weekend for you, Haley.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this weekend and all the different opportunities and being able to meet people and FFA members from the larger towns that you said, like Sioux Falls and even Rapid City and those larger areas, that they don't have the same opportunities that I have coming from a small town. So it's really cool to talk with them and learn about their FFA experiences and what they're able to do in FFA through being in their type of community and what they do to be involved in FFA.
Well, I don't know whether you know it, Haley, but Jerry Idy invited me to come up to the convention. I don't think I've ever been invited and I came to a convention, but this is one that I'm looking forward to being there by noon tomorrow, going to be around for a while, and thanks to Jerry, I'm going to get to meet a lot of your FFA kids. What do you think, Jerry?
Sounds great. And, you know, maybe we have to connect you with Haley and you can sit together at the State Degree Banquet and talk about more of your connections with Howard and all FFA does to help grow that entrepreneur spirit to think about the different opportunities there are in those rural areas to grow the communities and to stay embedded in agriculture in a unique way.
For those that are out there, you don't have to live in a farm area to be a part of FFA, correct?
Absolutely not. We have a lot of students that are heavily involved in the science projects. In fact, I just saw an article earlier this week about Omaha is adding another FFA chapter. They already have one, and they're adding a second one. So it can be in the cities, students focusing on where our food comes from, community gardens, looking at the research of understanding how do we produce more food for more people with less ground available to grow it on, and looking at just how to be educated consumers when you go to the grocery store and know what you're buying and making good decisions, as well as to the other spectrum of producing the product for the future generations on the farm and the ranch. So FFA is important for all of those different youth because we help them grow in their leadership and see opportunities that are out there and make the best decision for them.
Haley, you might learn something with this question. Jerry, how long have you been a part of FFA?
A really long time. Let's see if I have to put years to it. Probably over 30 years. And Haley and I actually had the opportunity to meet for the first time last October. We had the South Dakota FFA Foundation had a float in the Hobo Day Parade, and she came and walked the parade route with us, representing FFA and advocating for agriculture education and FFA and connecting with the crowd that was there for Hobo Days. So looking forward to seeing her again and just continuing that involvement with our youth and helping them reach their full potential.
For people like me that don't know where you're going, where am I going tomorrow?
We are at the Dakota Bank Center on the east side of Brookings is where the FFA convention will be centered out of. There will be some career development events happening on the SDSU campus, and we're very grateful for their partnership and with their faculty and staff providing those events, competitive events for our students. But our Career Carnival, our workshops, our day of service, and our award sessions and banquets will all be out at the Dakota Bank Center.
Well, Haley, one other thing that you'll learn today is that when I was out in Scottsdale, Arizona, getting an award, the one person that I introduced that wasn't family was Jerry Idy for all the things that she does in South Dakota. Every state needs a Jerry Idy. And Jerry, we truly mean that. You are a princess.
Thank you so much. It takes all of us working together and to keep our state great.
Well, we appreciate you, Haley. It looks like we get to sit together at a table. Save me a slot.
All right, I will do.
And look forward to seeing both of you tomorrow, along with the hundreds of others that are there. I'm anxious to see what I learn with my time there, and I promise to bring it back. Ladies, thanks for the visit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagg has joined us this morning, and I've got a list of things that we should be talking about, like the spring planting. You've had some weather that has planters being parked. Tell us about it.
It sure does, and I tell you what, it's wonderful to see some moisture. And I keep saying, you know, it might be a little more like a normal spring where we get pockets of dry and we go hard, and then we watch a few raindrops fall, and that's okay. We need moisture so badly. Yesterday, obviously, we had a significant system that moved through and some unfortunately some severe weather. But I guess if you're going to get severe weather, you just assume that it comes before the crop is out of the ground. So we still are we're still fighting that structural drought, 197 consecutive weeks of at least D1 drought in the state of Iowa, and that's just a record you don't want to set, but it takes rain like we've had recently to work ourselves out of that.
As I looked at the notes that were put together, I wondered what kind of mail service you had, because you're an ag secretary. Why would you send a letter to EPA on an emergency waiver? Wouldn't you just call them or do a, you know, a picture, a postcard? What would you do?
You bet. Well, you know, hey, you want to be on the record, right? You want to have a formal record of making that request. And here we're talking about getting EPA to issue that emergency waiver that we need to use E15 during the summer fueling season. Again, that summer fueling season, regulations change around emissions. It's a technical thing that has unfortunately prevented the use of E15 year-round in all across the country. And so what we've had to do is rely on these emergency waivers, and from June 1 to September 15th. So look, this all date. Remember, we talked about this, that Governor Reynolds and some governors from the Midwest asked for a waiver from EPA that would allow us to use E15 on a year-round basis. EPA did. Silly, right? They approved the waiver for 2025, but they didn't address 2024. And that just seems crazy to me. So here we are needing to ask for this emergency waiver, and hopeful that we'll get it. Obviously, with oil prices increasing, disruption around the world, and consumers have benefited mightily from using E15 in the pocketbook. So we're hopeful that this will get done, but we need to make the request and push hard for it.
Foreign animal disease kind of bothered all of us. Tell us what your legislature was able to do. Were they able to help?
Yeah, you know, we've dealt with high-path avian influenza the last few years. We've always got on our minds African swine fever and foot and mouth disease, being prepared for that. And now of late, we've been dealing with high-path avian influenza in some dairy herds. And it just drives home the kind of the constant threat, or that there's always something going on in animal disease that we need to be taking very seriously. We asked for continued support and in fact, a slight increase to some of our efforts with the legislature in this regard. And now the budget is still yet to be completed. So we'll know more here in the next couple of days, but we're pushing hard to continue that strong support for our efforts to be better prepared and serve our very important livestock industry.
That is important. And I noticed too, the renewable fuels, infrastructure, water quality, soil conservation funding, those would all be useful.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, again, these are all areas where what's important is that you have an adequate, long-term, sustained focus on these things. So whether we're talking about helping to build out that E15 infrastructure at gas stations across the state, we need to do it over several years, not just a one-shot deal. Water quality is the greatest example of this, where what you need is to be able to have dedicated folks and dedicated budgets that allow us to go out and do this important work. Never had more awareness and engagement on the part of farmers and landowners as we do in the state of Iowa today, and we're only building from there. So, you know, those are the types of things. You just got to have a sustained focus. We've got a lot of support in the legislature, but we're working hard here the last couple of days to ensure that we get the funding that we need to do our job.
I can keep a secret, so I will not tell the Iowa media you're talking to us this morning about announcing 20 Choose Iowa Dairy Innovation Grants. What's that about?
Yeah, this is our continued effort to really build out and develop markets locally. And just like we've talked about, you know, increasing our meat processing capacity in the state, we've seen a ton of interest in dairy farms wanting to process on farm and sell direct to consumer or sell those products locally. And we've got some great examples of dairies that have done this, and I'm thrilled to be able to award these grants. So we'll make that announcement here tomorrow, and I'm just really excited about the creativity. By the way, we've got several farms where you've got the next generation, the younger generation, coming in and saying, this is a way for us to generate more revenue, capture more margin, and so it can actually be a huge help for our smaller dairies and keep those operations going, give consumers what they want, which is more access to local food. It's a great thing.
Now, I don't tell the people in Minnesota and South Dakota, you're my ag secretary, being from Iowa. So don't say anything.
Between us, right?
Mike Nag, we appreciate the visit.
Yeah, you bet.
Always enjoy visiting with our ag secretaries in South Dakota, in Iowa, and also Minnesota. And the Minnesota Commissioner of Agriculture, Tom Peterson, will be joining us at the first break or so in the second half hour. And we always talk about the stress that happens on the farms. And he and I have done that for maybe 3 years now, because we know there is stress in agriculture, and our ag secretaries are concerned about it. We all should be concerned about it, and we'll talk about it this morning. That's coming up after we take a bit of a break.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? We could float among the stars together, you and I. For we can fly.
Always enjoy that bit of a musical interlude as we get ready on Monday and Wednesday to talk to Brent Balloon. Yes, I don't think you sell balloons in the family, but you're always out there planning for those that are in agriculture, in business, and young and old alike. If you will, this morning, talk us through some things that you've done in the last week.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Bill. Certainly nice to talk to you after a nice rain here that we've got over the last couple of years, so that's always a welcome thing here so far this year. But yeah, the planning stage, whether it's ag, commercial, or personal, we like to help anybody out with what they're looking forward. So in the last week, I had the opportunity to meet with somebody that I've been talking to for years. So always an opportunity to try to bring them on, and just never quite has happened. So maintain the relationship and finally got something closed and on the books this morning. So that's an exciting time. And something that we always like to preach is relationships. Even though we didn't have a prior relationship, it's something that we like to pursue and just keep in touch. So it certainly paid off in this case. So planning for them and their family to be new customers to the bank is something exciting for us. And on the commercial and personal side, planning is, again, involved with that, whether it's a business that they're looking to take on or expand or improve in one way, just to know the variables that will affect them and just be prepared as much as they can.
We always talk about the ag side. What are they telling you? Farmers like to talk when they get a banker, not only about money, but for the most part, what's happening on their land.
Yeah, right now it seems like coming off of the last couple of years, it's been some pretty nice years in agriculture. So with that, some changes that have happened is prices have went down, for some of these commodities. So we're not seeing $6 and $7 corn anymore or $13 or $14 beans. So adjustments need to be made, maybe tighten the belt up a little bit with what we did the last couple of years to manage expenses, manage, cost of living stuff that they might have been able to do the last couple of years. So commodity prices down, expenses are still up, but hopefully creeping down to kind of match. So that's something that is top of mind. And again, along with interest rates, which is always top of mind.
And again, I get to hear it all the time from those that are shopping for groceries, shopping for cars, get their electric bill, that things are going up. But for the most part, that needs to be a part of your plan, not knowing what the future is going to bring.
Yeah, absolutely. We always like to be conservative in our planning. So if it's assuming the price is a little bit higher, for expenses and maybe income a little bit lower, again, we just like to be prepared as much as possible. And on the most part, we'll always be a little conservative in our plans to make sure we got a little bit of wiggle room and some, buffer built in there for some tougher times.
When you talk with the older couples, they're starting to get to that point. They want to make sure that they can get to the end and still have some money to do what they need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're later on in life and you're close to retirement, some changes and some adjustments need to be made. So, while you're working and you're putting money into a 401k on every couple of weeks, maybe it's time to kind of take those back out of maybe some riskier investments and stock market options and put it into something a little bit more secure that's a more known, interest or income maker. So adjustments need to be made to, again, be conservative if that's the time in your life to where you don't necessarily need to, be a little bit more risky to make income.
And then the babes in the woods coming out for the first time. They're a couple. They're needing to plan. How do you get started with them?
Yeah, you know, it basically, it's just sit down, you know, see what their future goals are, what they're looking to do in the near future. And again, just evaluate based on their current situation. You know, how much do you make? You know, what kind of expenses are coming in the future? You know, is there children coming in the future? Everybody knows children are not cheap to raise in today's world either. So it's just a lot of different variables to at least have the conversation to, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, just be prepared as much as possible.
And, of course, Plains Commerce started in Hoven how many years ago? Was that almost 100?
Yes, almost. 1931, so we're coming up on 100 years here soon. So back in Hoven, South Dakota in 1931.
Well, we appreciate all you do, and if people need to talk with you, and they should, how do they reach you?
Absolutely. You can call me at 605-681-2396, or you can visit our website at plainscommerce.com.
From the Reeves Building Studios in downtown Sioux Falls. 50. That's 50-plus years serving the region. Make it last. Make it Reeves. I'm Bill Zortman. Welcome back to our It's Your Agribusiness show, show number 4448 in our original It's Your Business series. Before we turn to Minnesota's Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson, Mr. Matt Swenson, Swenson Commodities, has some morning numbers. What are they looking like, Matt?
Oh, well, we're in a mixed trade here with these grains as beans finds themselves higher while wheat's a little bit lower today. Corn market is currently sitting steady at 431. Soybeans are up 8 cents at 1153. Wheat's down 5 at 544 and 3 quarters. Hogs up down 20 cents. Cattle price down $1.10 to 97 cents after the run-up yesterday. Energy market's down $1.16 today at 84.20. Stock market's down 23, 162 lower in the Dow, 137 lower in the NASDAQ, 23 lower in the S&P. Gold's down 9 bucks. Silver's up 23 cents today. Bitcoin's trading 2,600 lower at 61,030. So there you have it for your Wednesday.
For people that are saying this Matt Swenson guy, how do we get to talk with him, get the latest stuff if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, I think it's called 605-335-5570.
All right. We appreciate you. We'll talk again Friday.
All right. Thanks.
Earlier, we talked with Iowa's Ag Secretary Mike Nagg. Now, our good friend Tom Peterson, Minnesota Commissioner of Agriculture. Mr. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Great to join you this morning.
Talk to us a little bit about the recent weather, the planning, legislative stuff to get us started.
Well, sounds good, Bill. You know, I think Minnesota's experienced a couple of years of drought, and, you know, with this rain, I'm home at the farm today. You know, I think I'm going to declare the drought might be kind of over for a little bit in Minnesota. So that's really good to see because we've, you know, last 2 years, Minnesota's almost the whole state been covered in drought. But we've had some really nice rains. We did get a pretty good start on the planting this last week with many parts of the state having 3-4 days of planting. We got, you know, probably about 20% of our oats in. And it says, you know, in the crop progress report this week, 3% of corn and wheat. But in some parts of the state, especially the southern parts, it's much higher than that. So going to a little slow down with the rain, but that's okay. And we'll pick back up, you know. And so that's good news. And then our legislative session, our House and Senate are putting together their omnibus bills this week and coming together okay for agriculture. And then we got about a month left in our legislative session.
So as you travel around that great big state of Minnesota, what are farmers telling you that they need done, and can it get done?
You know, I think the one thing is just listening to commodity reports, Bill, right before, you know, just those prices, you know, get $4 corn and, you know, if we could get those beans back into the teens is what they say, you know, that would be helpful. So I think we're looking at always at adding that value. You know, we are really working hard on E15 here in Minnesota. The governor sent a letter last week to the EPA administrator, really urging a summertime waiver for Minnesota for this year. I believe South Dakota is part of that, too, as well. And then also we're working on our trade bill. You know, it's really trying to, you know, continue to open those markets for our farmers is always the top priority. So I think those prices are just concerned, you know, and farmers are looking at trying to be creative on how they manage their input costs and, you know, and try to get through this year as best they can.
So people really divided in Minnesota as to what is being asked. It is an election year. We need some things done. Are we going to be able to get them done, or are we going to have to wait till November?
You know, in Minnesota, you know, I'll give you an example. One thing I was really glad to see, we passed our omnibus ag policy bill this last week on a 58-9 vote, you know, bill. So very bipartisan for agriculture. We're really hoping to see that in our legislature. We're putting money into water quality, into biofuels, into helping our dairy industry. And so for our state level legislature, I'm hopeful we can get some of that done bipartisanly. And then also it's good news to hear the farm bill might be moving now in the House. And in Minnesota, our whole delegation, Democrats, Republicans, very supportive. And so good to see that. And hopefully we do get something done. I always encourage and try to work with both sides of the aisle and what's best for farmers and agriculture.
You know, when we talk about our states, one of the things that we have seen now in South Dakota, we've seen in Iowa, is the dairy and the bird flu. What about Minnesota? How have you guys done? I haven't seen as much with you guys, and no news is good news.
Yeah, you know, I'm watching really closely with South Dakota and work really closely with Dr. Thompson there. You know, of course, she used to be our state vet, too, and a good friend, and from Groton, where a lot of my family's from, and we communicate quite often on that, and watching you know, how that's connected. We did have a case of in a commercial turkey flock this past week, and you know, we're watching those dairy herds. I visited with the Michigan commissioner yesterday. You know, they have 5 positive cases in the dairy, but just keep in mind the dairies, you know, the cows are recovering. That's good, but it does seem like in some of those states, the dairy is also potentially passing it to back and forth to the poultry farms. And so we're looking at that lateral spread, Bill, and that is concerning. So we'll hopefully get through this season, but continue to evaluate and work with our producers and everybody on this issue.
You and I always usually close our interviews about stress. What are you seeing?
You know, Bill, I just think we just talked about it with the prices. You know, that's stressful, right? I mean, you got to look at, you're going to be making, you know, less per bushel, you know, this year, or less per, you know, dollars per bushel this year. And, you know, as farmers look at that, you know, we always encourage them to check out the resources we have at the department, whether that's talking to a counselor or a farm advocate. And again, free for farmers and their families and their workers, you know, and so we always encourage people to check out our website. And I always appreciate you bringing that up, Bill, because it is important.
Well, and we should all be thinking about it. And if somebody needs a little encouragement, encourage them.
That's right, Bill. You know, I think every morning, I think a farmer called me at 6:45 this morning. He didn't mean to call me that early, but I'm up, you know, doing chores and, you know, just kind of having a hard time, you know, and different things, wanted somebody to talk about, and you know, and I'm able to kind of pass some of that information on, and I think it is always helpful, because it's farming is isolating, you know, and I can tell you that firsthand, but it's also, you know, it's okay to ask for help.
We appreciate you, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bill. Have a good day.
All right, I got a little question about is it Lisi Brown?
Yes, sir. It's Lisi Brown.
I can't believe I got it right. I never get names right. Lisi, nice to have you with us. Tax Day was on Monday, National Health Care Decision Day, and SDSU Extension is, and I kind of like this story, and I'm sorry it took till Wednesday for us to get it on the air, but you're encouraging farm family owners to make long-term caregiving decisions. Can we talk a little bit about that this morning?
Yes, sir. I'd be happy to talk about that. Caregiving is just one of those things that will happen to all families. Every family will be affected by caregiving. All of us will. Unless we drop dead suddenly, we're all going to need a caregiver. And when you're talking about a farm or ranch business, caregiving can have serious implications on a farm and ranch business, you know. Caregiving really is just that period of time when somebody needs help with routine tasks. It could be temporary. It could just be a short period of time where you're recovering from an accident or an illness, you know, or it could be that permanent decline and disability that's often associated with that end of life period. So it's really just understanding that this is an important part of life, and it does have serious implications due to the cost. I mean, it largely has implications on farm and ranch businesses because of how much it costs.
You know, I'm seeing as I looked at your notes that only 28% of adults have completed an advance directive form. What is that? I haven't completed one, and I'm in South Dakota.
Yes. So an advance directive form is simply a document that identifies someone to be your decision maker. So in the event that you are not able to speak, it could be temporary, it could be permanent, but in that event, it's the person that you would trust most to make decisions on your behalf. Advance directives also often include what is called a living will, and a living will allows you to provide a little bit more guidance on the different decisions that you might have to make. You know, so some of the decisions that you might have to make, withholding or withdrawing treatment. So say you decide to intubate somebody, you may come to a point where you decide, you know what, intubation is not what, you know, Bill, Martha, whoever would want. We shouldn't be doing this. So it could be that kind of situation. It could be situations where of nutrition for people who are in a permanent vegetative state. So that's a decision that you could describe in a living will. You could also talk about issues of brain death and organ donation in your living will. So, for example, a lot of folks, you know, really adamantly don't want to be put on machines at end of life. But what they may not know is that in order to donate your organs, your body has to be put on machines for a period of time. You know, so that's what advanced directives are.
You know, as I look at the fact that you're a gerontology field specialist, I don't think I've ever heard of one of those animals.
I am a unique bird. So gerontology is really the study of aging. It's not the medical study of aging. Gerontology looks at the experience of aging from the biological side, the sociological side, and the psychological side. So I really am just an expert on aging. As strange as that sounds, many people didn't know that anybody could go to school to become an expert on aging, but that is what I did, and that is what I am.
You know, it takes somebody that cares, and I haven't seen an extension gerontologist either, as I've kind of bounced around the country at a lot of different places. But you do care, and you really want people to have a chance to sit down and tell their story and then help them as they kind of put it together with their entire family as to what they're going to do and how they're going to do it.
And you hit it on the nose with their entire family. You can't have this conversation with yourself in private while you're out there working the fields or working the herds. Maybe you start the conversation with yourself there, but at the end of the day, you have to talk to your friends and family so everybody is clear about what happens. And it's scary to think about those situations where we're seriously injured. Like, we need immediate medical decisions or our life is at stake. You know, and that's scary to think about, but you can make that situation easier by ensuring all your friends and relatives who have a stake in what's going on. You don't have to tell, you know, somebody you just casually meet at the store on Wednesdays. You don't have to tell them. But, you know, those people who are really could be affected by the decisions, especially related to your farm, because there's some work that has to be done with transitioning your farm so you can be prepared for caregiving. But that having those conversations, it really is the most critical. Somebody has to know what your preferences are.
Lacey Brown with us, SDSU Extension Gerontologist Field Specialist. Don't know about that kind of animal. I'm going to have to study a little bit on that one. But I do know that some of the conversations that ought to come up would be spirituality, religion, and you've talked a little bit about aid in dying. Can you just go back over those for those that have just joined us?
Definitely. I'll talk about aid in dying. Aid in dying is not legal in South Dakota, but it comes up. You know, I facilitate a support group for dementia caregivers, and one of the caregivers said that his wife, you know, she brought that up. So there's one, it's one of those things you have to be prepared to come up and discuss. I'm not going to make a value judgment about what's right or what's wrong, but just know that, you know, when somebody's suffering a lot, aid in dying could come up as a topic conversation. And then your spirituality and your religion, I mean, that really tells us how we got here. You know, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of suffering? Because suffering is part of the human experience, and we don't really like to talk about it, but it happens. Suffering happens. So what's the meaning of that suffering that we're going through? You know, and then what happens next? You know, these are all conversations that will come up as you and your family are really talking about caregiving and ultimately end of life. You know, advanced care planning is part of care end of life, but there's so much more before that caregiving happens. And caregiving can last for decades depending on the diagnosis of the person. It can be decades. Dementia is an example of a prognosis that can last a really long time. Some people, you know, they may spend only a couple years dealing with the disease and pass away rather quickly, while others, I've heard of people 20, 25 years living with dementia. So being ready for that caregiving, knowing that spirituality, your religion, those topics will come up, and they're important for you and your family to really get through that part of life.
All right, let's put a bow around it. Do people need an appointment? Is there a website number for them to call?
Definitely. I would recommend checking out the SDSU Extension website. If you like using Google searches, you can just Google South Dakota State University Extension and make sure you put South Dakota. Otherwise, it'll take you to the San Diego website. And you can look up caregiving on the South Dakota State University Extension website. I'm sorry, I don't have the URL with me. But you can look up caregiving information. We've got courses to help you learn different things you need to know. So definitely, and you can reach out to me at 605-394-1722. I'm happy to talk to you about caregiving and advanced care planning. So my number one more time is 605-394-1722. And my name is Lisa Brown, and I'm with South Dakota State University Extension.
All right, Lisa, you did such a good job. I want you to come on once a month. Let's talk about this.
And okay.
The kind of things that are important. Families out there need our help.
I do. It's scary. It takes time. So
next, God as CEO. How did that happen? Welcome back. It's your agribusiness, and this gentleman and an army of folks were with us last Friday. I think we did a little something earlier in this week, and we're going to do something just before the event on Friday. Ross Richema is with us, and tell us a little bit about the God CEO event that's coming up Friday.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for having us on. We really appreciate the opportunity just to share the story. And as I shared last week, the God as CEO initiative was an initiative that Mayor Paul Tenakin had started a number of years ago when he was a partner at ClickRain. And just to talk about how business owners and leaders like himself are leading with faith in the workplace. And ultimately, the mission statement of God as CEO is work is worship. And that we spend a ton of time in our daily lives every single week at work. And we're not there just to work for a paycheck, but ultimately to have impact for an eternal purpose. And this gives this event, Brian Slipka is somebody who, you know, he owns the Canaries. He owns other businesses in South Dakota and in Sioux Falls. Love is falling in love with Sioux Falls. And I just, excuse me, asked him a number of months ago. I said, hey, would you and Tony Dungy come to Sioux Falls and just share your story, share your journey, share your struggles, challenges of building a business, of leading as a, you know, Super Bowl winning player, as a Super Bowl winning coach, and just share your successes, share your losses, and ultimately, what have you learned throughout this, and how has your faith leadership and the reliance on God led you throughout this to where you're at today. And so on Friday at Central Church at 12:30 p.m., we are hosting Brian Slipka and Tony Dungy to sit down and have a conversation, allow them to share their leadership lessons throughout. You know, Tony is a New York Times bestselling author. He is obviously, you know, NBC football analyst today. And Brian Slipka owns 30 companies throughout 14 states. Very successful business entrepreneur and has had incredible impact beyond the bottom line of profit, and is somebody who everybody, you know, will continually hear more from within our community, given his growing business presence, and somebody who has just an incredible heart. So we're honored and excited that they are willing to take time to come and to Sioux Falls. Tony Dungy has never been to Sioux Falls. He is really excited to be here. And right now we're at around 700 that have purchased tickets for the event. And we have a max capacity of right at about 1,000. You know, there's a couple days left to grab your tickets online. You can go to kingdomcapitalfund.com or just simply Google God as CEO Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Find us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, and connect and buy the ticket. It's $25. It is open to the general public. We'd love anybody that wants to hear great leadership lessons from both the business and personal aspect of two phenomenal leaders in this country and somebody who also has a tie to our community. We invite everybody to join us.
Now, you mentioned no autographs. I'm going to ask you about how you picked the title God as CEO.
So that was the name of the initiative that Paul had started, and ultimately understanding that everything here on earth is not ours, but ultimately our businesses. You know, we often say, like, I'm the president of my company, I'm the CEO of my company, or I'm the CEO of XYZ organization. But ultimately, you know, we are to be stewards and ambassadors for the kingdom. And that is what this initiative is founded on, is ultimately communicating that we are here temporarily on earth to ultimately seek to glorify God through everything, whether it be work, our hobbies, all of our relationships, but ultimately understanding that God is the CEO. He is in charge, and there's a much greater purpose beyond the bottom line of profit within businesses. And, you know, that is that was what was placed on Paul's heart a number of years ago. And the Kingdom Capital Fund took it over when Paul ran for office. And we could build out a committee that includes a number of business leaders within our community here who are passionate about this initiative. And that's what it is. God as CEO is an initiative. We recently had Jeff Lowett of Poet on. We had Dave Rosenbaum of First Premier on. Michael Bender, Bender Commercial. Stuart Norberg of Norberg Paints. We've had a number, Ben Wiener of Benaiah Capital. We're trying to connect our community and business leaders to hear that there are Christian business leaders in this community, and how do we lead? How should we lead? And let's be held accountable with how we're leading, how we're caring for our community, how we're loving across any political lines. Let's break down the political divisiveness, and let's love and let's lead like Christ did.
700 tickets sold. The event is 12:30 Central Church in Sioux Falls, and you still have room. If people want tickets, how do they get them?
Yeah, they should just you know, go online, find it. God as CEO has a Facebook page, LinkedIn page. Kingdom Capital Fund has a Facebook page, LinkedIn page. You can find us on social media. You can also go to the Kingdom Capital Fund, which is kingdomcapitalfund.com website, and you'll see right on there, Got a CEO link. Click and buy your ticket. It's super easy to be able to do it. And you can literally Google Got a CEO, Tony Dungy. It'll come up as well. So variety of different ways, but it's a $25 ticket. You're going to, you know, hear from some awesome, incredible leaders. And, you know, there's other unique things about Tony. He is, you know, got 11 children, 8 of which are adopted. And, you know, when you think about somebody who's as successful as he is as a Super Bowl winning player, went on to be a Super Bowl winning coach, went on to be a New York Times bestselling author and authored many different books out there. And then, you know, on mainstream TV regularly, you kind of ask yourself, like, why would you adopt you know, children when you can be comfortable, because that creates uncomfort in many ways, right, to take on that challenge of just adopting that many kids. And him and his wife are passionate about loving and leading in a different way.
Ross, we'll talk just a little bit more on Friday, just before your event, if that's okay with you.
You bet. I look forward to it, Bill.
Thank you. We had Laura Edwards, our South Dakota State climatologist, on yesterday. We go to my home state of Iowa. Justin, are you with us?
Good morning, Bill.
What are you seeing in the Hawkeye State right now?
We saw some rainfall. We saw some severe weather yesterday. Widespread reports of some wind and hail damage in eastern Iowa. And even up around your neck of the woods, we had some tornadoes reported with these shallow supercells that had some rotation associated. Also, some good rainfall totals across the state, especially in the drought region. So cold and windy today, but definitely we picked up some active weather yesterday.
The crops, people, not all of the folks are able to get them in the ground, but a little normal weather, a little heat wouldn't hurt.
Wouldn't hurt at all. We had almost 5 days of suitable field work over the last reporting period. 4% of our expected corn has been planted, so some planters have been out there. This rainfall and cooler temperatures will keep us out a little while. But overall, the outlooks are showing warmer temperatures as we move into the end of the month, along with a slightly wetter signal. So I think we're going to have an excellent window to get widespread planters rolling.
We are so successful in our states to have Laura Edwards as the South Dakota climatologist, Justin as the Iowa climatologist. They know each other and they work together.
We do, and I'm going to see Laura at Fort Collins in June when we have our American Association of State Climatologists annual meeting. We're basically a family. There are 49 of us, and regionally we work well together. We know our colleagues on the East and West Coast as well, but we have such a great set of state climatologists in the Midwest. I'm fortunate to be able to work with Laura and my other colleagues.
We're fortunate to work with both of you, and we appreciate you. You guys have good information, you're friendly, and the audience likes you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
We appreciate everybody being with us. No show tomorrow. We have a show Friday. I'm going to be up at SDSU tomorrow with all those FFA members. For now, our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.